T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time for the best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ball, point, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralta of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the Live BP Baseball Show.
If you hit a man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradford and Peralt on EEI.
And he'll do, and he swings and hits one deep to left center field. Jackie on the go, back to the warning track by the wall. He jumps. Did he get it?
He got it.
He did. What a play. A sensational play by Jackie. He went over the fence to take a home run away from Mancini to save the game.
And the 1-1 to JBJ. Swinging a high drive to right field. Reddick going back. Back to the warning track. This ball is going, and it is gone. A grand slam for Jackie Bradley Jr. And the Red Sox have broken it open. They lead it 8-2. Can you believe it?
Jansen's 2-0 delivery. And Jackie swings, and he hits a high fly ball to right. This ball's back. This ball's gone. JBJ ties the game at one with one mighty swing here in Southern California.
All right, you know what happened this week? I'll tell you what happened this week. Jackie Bradley signed with the Brewers. Steve Peralt got his Twitter account suspended. And I laid eyes on Franchy Cordero for the first time.
Oh,
I'm Rob Bradford with Steve Peralt. One of us is staring at an infield, which they forgot to cover with tarp, and it's absolutely soaked. So, guess which one. Hi, Steve.
Bradford, how you doing? I know. How do you forget that? That's crazy.
I will take a picture of it and put it on the Twitter machine because I do have a Twitter account that has not been suspended.
Yeah, true.
I did notice that there is a free Steve Peralt Twitter account, which I just followed.
Mm-hmm.
So, congratulations on that. I mean, I was expecting that not to come up until you were in jail, but you are in Twitter jail, and it has been probably a very frustrating week for you, Steve.
Yeah, I got to say, Bradfo, first off, very happy to be back. Live BP, greatest show, greatest baseball show of all time. I don't know what to do with myself. I realize over the last, let's say, 4 or 5 days that so much of my existence goes through Twitter that what do I do without Twitter? And it's been a real struggle. I absolutely hate every second of it, and I'm just trying to stay positive. So if you have any pointers on how to stay in a good mood, let me know.
Here's how you stay in a good move. Come down to Florida.
Yeah.
And just stare at a baseball diamond with nobody on it, which is it's just sort of glorious. I don't care. So as you probably heard, I've been doing the broadcast the last couple of days. Everyone's talking about it.
Yes.
I'm revolutionizing the medium of radio and the great the spirit of broadcasting. And the first game that I did, one of the first things I said is the only shadow we have on the field today is the eagle flying overhead, which was accurate. And I think that, to me, right then, I said the pandemic's over and baseball has begun.
I want to ask you, rather, how has that experience been so far in Fort Myers? How has that been? I hear that you're sleeping on a blow-up mattress. Is that right?
I am. It's because I want Entercom stock to go through the roof, so I am sleeping on an air mattress.
Okay.
But here's the payoff, Steve, is that the day, and I want to get your response, and you have no Twitter, but you have no Twitter on the week that Jackie Bradley has decided to leave town, which makes it probably even more painful because you have so many things to say. But this is a great thing. You have this show to say them. But I, really quickly, I would say this, is that the Air Mattress paid dividends right out of the gate because it made me wake up at 3:15 in the morning for no reason at all. And because I woke up at 3:15 in the morning, I turned on the my Twitter machine, and I saw, oh, Julian McWilliams just reported that Jackie Bradley, bizarrely at 3 o'clock in the morning, has signed with the Brewers. Well, I reach out. I say, hey, you know what? Why not? I'll reach out to Jackie and see, congratulate him, whatever. Sure enough, he gets back to me at 3:30 in the morning.
Jeez.
And all of it because I'm sleeping on an air mattress.
That makes perfect sense to me because I saw that on the Live BP Twitter. That's my only version of seeing Twitter now, that in Section 10. And I see that, and I'm like, I had to do a triple take to make sure that my time zones weren't off. Rob Bradford tweeting at 3:30 in the morning, that's normally when I get my I miss Nomar tweets up. I could not believe that you were up at that hour, but now it all makes sense considering that you have a terrible blow-up mattress, and that's how you're getting by in Fort Myers right now. By the way, how do you, get an Airbnb or something, no?
No. No. I mean, no. No, like I said, I mean, there's a lot to this, Steve. In order to fund the Live BP baseball show, I have to sleep it on an air mattress.
It makes sense. Wait, but break that down, though. So JBJ gets back to you at 3:30 in the morning, confirming that he's going to Milwaukee?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Basically, yeah. I mean, yeah. And then you just go from there. And I feel, I kind of feel bad for Julian because it's a big scoop and good for him. But you don't want to have to do that in the middle of the night. And you know that you have hit the absolute dead spot in terms of reporting something when the national people who you know for throughout the entire offseason, their whole thing, if someone gets it, they're confirming 2 seconds later, the Rosenthal's, the Passant.
Oh, yeah.
Passant didn't confirm it. He confirmed it actually right before 5 a.m., which is bizarre to me anyway. But you know that is the dead spot right there. That no one's paying attention except for the guys who are sleeping on the air mattresses.
And I'm telling you, from experience, Bradfo, when you get a scoop, it's the greatest feeling ever.
I know.
My total's up to one, but I'm telling you, when you get one and you know no one else knows the thing you know, at least publicly, outside of the walls of those organizations, there is no better feeling than that. But that is pretty cool that you confirmed it at that hour of the, I was going to say night, but that's more the morning. What are your thoughts overall on JBJ being gone? I mean, we kind of saw this coming, right? I mean, Verdugo was going to be the center fielder. There was really no chance Jackie was coming back after you saw what moves the Red Sox made. But what was your reaction when it was actually confirmed that he was going to Milwaukee in a 2-year deal?
So after I spring up from the air mattress and I write my story, my Jackie Bradley story, I take a shower, I get dressed. Now it's about 6 o'clock and I go to the nearest Starbucks and sit outside, which was glorious. Hmm. I write my column, and this is what I'm getting to, which is my column is, okay, now this is Chaim Bloom's team. This is, you can say all you want about wanting Jackie Bradley back, but this is Chaim Bloom's team. And Steve, you know as well as I do, throughout the years, if the Red Sox really wanted a free agent, they were going to get them.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, that free agent didn't want to come to Boston.
They'd David overpay Price, to get him.
David Price, Carl Crawford, we're making you come to Boston.
Yeah.
And that, obviously, is not the approach anymore. It's more of if you still need a place to go, we'll be sitting here with this one-year offer for you. But
yeah. I think the sign to me that JBJ was gone was when he did the photo shoot in center field with Billy Weiss, the team photographer. It was the last home game of the 2020 season, a very memorable year for so many players on the team. And the second he did that, and he's got Fenway behind him, it was very much like a senior portrait of this is it. I am absolutely going to be gone after this. So was not surprised to see he signs elsewhere. If you're Jackie, though, and you get a 2-year, $24 million deal, he absolutely wanted more than that. There's no doubt about it. What were the initial rumors of what he was going to make / how many years? That he definitely would have wanted to be in the 4-5 range, right?
Yeah, well, the word was that he was looking for at least 4.
Yeah.
At least 4. Now, what Scott Boras will say, it's $12 million a year, fine. Okay, that's fine. But What Scott Boras will say is that you got the opt-out. It's basically the Adrian Beltre pillow contract, right? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
If he has a terrible year, he has another year of $12 million, and that's fine. But if he has a really, really good year, he has the pillow contract, the 1 year, and now he's back in the free agent market. That's what Boras will say.
I do wonder how much Jackie is excited to just get away from here, though.
You think so?
I think this is a complete guess. This is a complete guess, but I feel like Jackie and other players – love the concept of not having to answer a billion questions after every game and have to just constantly deal with the pressure that the media brings on them. Also, the pressure of playing in front of Fenway. Last year, I'm sure it was easy for these guys considering the team stunk and no one was in the stands. But he just seems like a very mild-mannered guy, someone that if he had it his way, he wouldn't even have to talk to the media. He could just go out there and play ball and go home to his wife and his daughter. So I feel like personally, Jackie feels relieved that his time in Boston is completed, that he won a World Series here, got a gold glove here, made the All-Star team. He's an All-Star starter, if I'm not mistaken, right, in 2016, which is kind of crazy looking back on it. But, yeah, I mean, the Jackie story is going to be what we always talked about. It was every single year. He's going to go on a stretch where you're like, oh, maybe Jackie's figured it out. Breaking news, he hasn't. He hasn't. Every time at the plate, he has not, quote-unquote, figured it out. There's very few guys in the majors that figure it out. Because I hate that line, by the way, because you need to figure it out so many times to figure it out. Like, if you figure it out the first time, pitchers are then going to figure it out. And then you have to figure it out again. So it's a lazy phrase. I've never liked it. And Jackie is in a position now where I don't think you're going to rely on him much for a bat when he's going to Milwaukee. They have plenty of bats over there. And I feel like the vibe of that team, very laid back. He can, you know, reunite with Travis Shaw. And they'll have a chance to win their division and to cruise in the playoffs. So I'm happy for him that he's going to Milwaukee, but there shouldn't be any surprise, right, that he's not coming back here.
No, and so that's a little taste of the Jackie Bradley conversation, just a little taste. And we're going to get more into that. And you talk about – it's interesting you bring up the media crunch and getting out of Boston and not having that. Well, one of the things you ask about spring training, and I'll get into this a little bit later, but going to the backfields – it is totally different, and the players, oh my goodness, this is like heaven for them. This is, I can tell you, they have the boombox going. It is like we have nobody around. And when they see me, and when they see Will Fleming, and they see Ian Brown, it's like the sad trombone, like, oh, really?
I was going to ask that. When you're around, and nothing against you, it's the concept of you being a reporter.
It is. It's always the concept.
It's the concept of you, Rob, where it's like, oh, God, this guy that's going to be like, give me soundbite for my article.
Like hunting down Franchi Cordero today to take any video. Anyway, well, speaking of Franchi Cordero, he is on the list. He is on the list of guys that we want to ask Tim Hires about. I went to Twitter. I said, give me everybody. We're having Tim Hires, hitting coach of the Red Sox, on. Give me your top five guys who you want us to rapid fire Tim Hires about, because Hires is great. You're going to want to listen to him because he's great to talk to. We can reconvene in the break here and get our list going, but I am going to tell you, Franchi Cordero is already number one on it. So Tim Hires, hitting coach for the Boston Red Sox, is going to join Live BP to go rapid fire with all these hitters that you want to know what they're doing, what's wrong with them, how they're going to have big years, how they're going to be fixed, so forth and so on. You're not going to want to miss this, and it's all coming up right after this.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. I should note, by the way, the pitcher that Fitzy was trying to grasp is Brian Mata. Brian Mata, the top pitching prospect for the Red Sox. He has been diagnosed with a slight tear in his UCL ligament, and he is going to be treated. No surgery yet, but he's going to be treated. They do not have a timetable for him, but obviously not great news for the Red Sox top pitching prospect. In hockey news, Bruins beat the Capitals 5-1. Brad Marchand had 3 points. Brandon Carlo left the game in the first period after a hit to the head from Tom Wilson. According to Bruce Cassidy, Carlo was taken to the hospital in ambulance during the game. He was released this morning. Wilson was offered an in-person hearing. While phone hearings typically indicate the NHL is considering a suspension of 5 games or less, an in-person hearing means they're considering one of greater length. length. Wilson has been suspended on four other occasions, including a 20-game suspension for a hit to the head in 2018. Celtics are off till Thursday. That is what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Time now for the live BP baseball show.
Ballpoint, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a bowler to the stick man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
All right, we're back here. Live BP baseball show. Rob Bradford, Steve Peralt. And the guy who I was watching from afar today, I was outside a fence, and I almost yelled as he was walking away, "Hey, Tim Hyers! Tim! Tim!" But because that is what we're relegated to, yelling at people from hundreds of yards away, I was not going to do that. I don't want to bother anyone in their workplace. They have work to do. I kind of have work to do. But it was really interesting watching hitters hit, watching Tim Hyers in action, the best hitting coach in Major League Baseball right now, and we're very fortunate to have him join the Live BP Baseball Show. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, thanks, Rob. Hey, shoot, you can yell at me anytime you want.
Nah, because, you know, I felt like everyone would have turned around and they said, "Oh, man, the media is here. No, get away." It is so bizarre, and you know, I've only been out there a couple days, but I was saying to Steve that I get the sense that there's such a more relaxed vibe out there when you guys are hitting. You guys have the music blaring, you're doing the, you know, 1, 2, 3, this go hit or whatever it is. You can be honest, like, it does feel a whole lot more relaxed with no one around.
It is, and the guys, you know, just be themselves. And like you said, they can blast music and you know, and let it let the hair down and have a good time. But, you know, we do miss the fans. I mean, it's we do like the interaction and some excitement. But it is kind of different just seeing a couple of you guys, you know, walking around and a couple of the security, you know, security people compared to having a packed house with some of the fans.
You know what's great, Tim? You know what's great is the new guys think I'm in the front office, because like I had Sawamura Mora like walk up, and I've never seen a player more friendly to me in my life, and I'm like thinking, why was he so friendly? Oh, he thinks I'm in the front office. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So Tim, we want to do a little rapid fire with you just because. You have a lot of interesting hitters on this team right now. And I don't just say that. Obviously, you always have. There's an eclectic group of guys. But a lot of guys that can go either way and really, like, are intriguing to the fan base, probably more than in years past. So I'm gonna say some names. Steve is going to say some names. I'm going to start off with a guy that I saw standing around today. He didn't really do anything. Big guy, new guy, hasn't quite been cleared to hit, but he was watching intently, and that's Franchi Cordero. I know that you haven't seen him hit probably in person yet, but I would imagine that you have sort of digested his video of him and what he's all about. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yes, I mean, I'm really excited. Like you said, we haven't seen it in person, but really excited to get to know him. And supposedly, you know, just watching video and watching what he can do on the field, it is he has a lot of exciting tools, and especially in the batter's box. You know, when you bring his name up, everybody talks about you know, how far he can hit a ball and the power that he possesses you know, in the batter's box. So we're excited. I'm excited to get to know him and, you know, see him in action.
Yeah. Well, real quick, what does he have to do better? What is the thing, looking at him, you say, if we tweak this, then we think he's going to take a jump?
It's just being more consistent. You know, it's getting the ball in the strike zone and being consistent with barrel the ball skills. You know, he's got the power. He impacts the baseball. Let's just do it a little bit more consistent. You know, we don't have to hit it, you know, 40 rows deep. Let's just hit it hard. And with his power and with his strength levels, you know, things are going to happen. Because, you know, that's our ultimate goal, is hit the ball hard. You know, we can't control a lot of things after you hit it. So that's the number one goal. If we can get guys up there hitting the ball hard and consistently, that's when good things happen.
With J.D. Martinez, obviously he didn't have the season he wanted to have last year. Johnny Miller let him know immediately in the interview, which was great in the press conference. But I like how he at least took that well. But What changes has he made, if any, in the offseason heading into 2021, knowing that he needs a pretty big bounce-back year to justify not only the contract he's making, but this position in the lineup that he has in the Red Sox?
Yeah, he has made some changes. I know first of all, as soon as the season was over, I know he was in the lab. He was working on his craft, and he was going to get back to the J.D. Martinez, his standard. So I know it started in the offseason. I know he's really working on his lower half. He just got in some bad habits, as everybody saw, chasing some pitches, just didn't see the bat speed, the impact, and it was just the stability in his lower half. So I know he's worked on that. And then now I think he's just transferred into his hands. He's just trying to, you know, I think his lower half he's worked to feel pretty confident where he's at. And now it's connecting that lower half of the upper body and creating that spring action, with his upper body, with his hands. And Pete, my assistant, and we were in the cage today with JD, and we were like, hey, the whip is coming back and the whip is sounding better. So I like where he's at. He's put a lot of hard work physically and with his, with his mechanics. So I'm excited for him, and I think we've seen good results so far in early spring training at bats.
You know, one of the talks of camp, and really it was the same way the first half last year, was Jarren Duran. And it's hard to think back to Duran was came up professionally going through single A, and he was a guy that didn't really hit with a lot of power. He got a lot of hits, but he didn't hit with a lot of power. Now you're seeing that strength sort of manifest itself in some home runs. And I'm not to say he's a home run hitter, but he seems like he has changed his stance a little bit. Talk a little bit about the difference in Jarren Duran maybe now than when you first got your eyes on him for the first time.
Yes. He put up the numbers in the lower level. So, the timing, the bat-to-ball skills, and he was hitting for a good average. And I know he got to the upper levels, and I think they exposed some things. And that just tells you how smart the guy is and his instincts that, hey, I got to make some changes and a few adjustments to play at the upper levels and make it to the big leagues. So obviously, that's his goal. And so it's credit to him. I mean, he went out. He seeks some knowledge. He talked about a few things, talked to some veterans, and he made some adjustments, and he's worked really hard at it. And, now we're seeing, the skills that he has, that when he connects, I mean, he has the power to drive the ball out of the park, but it's not that he's trying to be a power hitter. He's just trying to create a swing that, when he does make contact, it's just not buried in the ground and smothered, that he gets the ball, in the air. And if he connects, he's going to impact the baseball. And we know, you're talking about tools. He's exciting on the base paths. Now I'm the hitting guy, and I want him to get on base and, drive the baseball. But I'm saying, when he gets on the bases, it's like eyes are glued. And what's he going to do next? Cause he's exciting. He's got some impact speed to go along with a good bat.
Now, with Kike Hernandez coming over from Los Angeles, looking to be the leadoff hitter for you guys, what's your relationship like with him so far and having a new player on this roster? And also, obviously, Alex, and I'm assuming you as well, want to see him raise his average. He's at a career 240. I know you guys want to see that rise, get him on base more, have him moving, get the lineup going, get runs early. What's the approach for Kike, and what have your talks with him been like so far?
Yeah, it's the first time I saw him was in 16. He was a young player in the big leagues, and he's just been inconsistent. I really feel if he gets consistent ABs, and that's going to help him out. I mean, I give the guy credit for coming off the bench. Not that he's an everyday guy. I mean, there's times when he did get consistent ABs, but just, coming off the bench in the National League and still putting up the numbers. I mean, he's dangerous at the plate. So, I mean, that's not an easy task to do. So now, hopefully he gets consistent ABs with us. And like you said, that's exactly what we need out of him. We need competitive ABs. We need him to continue to, kind of dominate the strike zone. He doesn't, to be that, impact force every single day. It's his job is to be consistent, get on base. I think that's what we're looking for. I was talking to Alex, and just being over there in 16 and 17 in LA, I mean, I saw a player that you make a mistake, he's going to make you pay. And we're just looking for that type of hitter but also one that battles whenever they're not leaving mistakes over the middle of the plate. He takes his walk when he needs to.
You know, I'm glad you brought up your history with the Dodgers, because it leads to the next guy I want to talk about is Alex Verdugo, who, you know, I wrote about this today, that the organization, there's no way around it, that you guys are putting a lot of stock in this guy, and he doesn't have a lot of experience, but what you've seen, you understand why you would want to put a lot of stock into him. You saw him come up. You've seen the player he is now. How much better is he now? What sort of things is he better at than he was maybe even a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I saw him in the minors, and I saw him in the big leagues. He's just hit everywhere he's gone. And it's not easy to put the numbers up he's put up the first 2 years in the big league. So, yeah, he's a really good bat-to-ball skill guy, and he knows his swing. His swing is very simple. He's very direct to the ball. He knows the strike zone, and he competes every at-bat. And so, him growing right now, I would just say he's understanding what pitchers are trying to do to get him out. I think that's where he's, you know, getting better each day and, you know, toward the end of last year. So I think we just continue to, you know, to make sure that he doesn't get ahead of himself and that expectations don't get too far ahead, that it's just one day at a time. It's just, to compete, allow your talents to take you, and rely on them and not try to get ahead of yourself and, you know, put those expectations too high right now, because he still is a young player in the league. And so I think that's where, Verdugo is at his best. But I'm telling you, I mean, the numbers back it up. And he's definitely got good bat-to-ball skills, and he's definitely a good major league hitter.
Last one for me, Tim, is Bobby Dalbec. We had him on last week, and I projected out his 2020 stats. If you did that over the course of 162, he'd hit 56 homers and 115 RBIs. I'm sure that's exactly what you're telling him to do. I'm sure you're telling him, hey, if you're not hitting 60 homers, it's a mega disappointment. So that's just my advice. But how do you have him go into the season with realistic expectations, knowing that that stretch he went on, I mean, you were putting him in names with Ken Griffey Jr., other, you know, enormously talented players that have hit a homer in five straight games. How do you have him going into 2021 with realistic expectations and also kind of pushing him to be the best version of himself that he can be?
Yeah, I mean, if you watch batting practice, I mean, you know, that's not too far to reach. But yeah. The guy has some definitely has some power. But I look at him as, you know, he got some big league experience last year, and it was just so valuable. You know, I look at young players and they get that September call up and then they come back to spring training and they're a different guy because the confident level, they know what they need to work on in the off season. They did it. Now they're coming in and they understand what the big leagues is all about. And that's where Bobby's at right now. And then when I say he's a more confident player, meaning that, you know, it's not cocky. It's just, okay, I understand what I have to do to survive and to be a complete hitter in the major leagues. And he's working on that. And we all know Bobby's a smart guy. So that's what I'm the most proud of him right now. And I think we see that in some early at-bats here in spring. He's had some nice success. But he's not a guy just looking to hit the ball at the park. And that's not it. Bobby's just working to put solid contact. And he knows the areas of weakness. He knows things he's got to work on. So that's what makes me as a hitting guy and Pete, my assistant, we're so excited because that we know that in the long run is what's going to work. Now, obviously, there's going to be some ups and downs, and we all know that, and we got to help guide him through those. But that's, you know, the starting place of where he came into camp is in a really good place. So that's something that, you know, I'm excited for him, and he's got off to a good start here.
Red Sox hitting coach Tim Hyers, I really appreciate you taking the time. I just have one more quick one, and it's sort of a
sure.
A cliche. But at this time of spring, it's the perfect cliche question, which is, give me a guy that maybe we didn't ask about that isn't on people's radar that you're like saying, oh man, he looks really good. And because, listen, I mean, we only see dribs and drabs of these guys. We aren't seeing a whole lot of BP, and we only see these five-inning games. So is there a guy that's sort of jumping out for you?
Maybe a guy that everybody's not familiar with that's really good at bats, again, against our simulated scrimmages and things like that. It's Christian Arroyo. I mean, he just put the ball in play really, really hard. And so he's a guy that so far has really put consistent ABs together and has been, done everything we've asked. So he's a guy that, probably not the frontline guy, but a guy that's holding his own here. And then also Michael Chavis is, he's come into camp and he's a guy that, probably didn't have the season he wanted last year, but, he's dusted himself off, got back off the mat and done a really good job so far. So those are two guys right now that kind of have turned my head. But the kind of the theme of the camp so far is just competition. The guys are competing. And it's funny. It's like they're competing against each other in practice, and they're competing, within themselves to get better. So I was just telling somebody the other day, it was just like that's the part. That's what we want to see. They're coming to work every day and trying to, prove something that and get better. So that's exciting for us. But, talk's cheap. We got to get after it once the season starts. But it's a good sign right now that guys are, got a little edge to themselves and wanting to have good years.
All right, Tim. Well, keep up the good work. And listen, you got to change the music, though, man. I was sitting out there today. I turn around, and honestly, Frozen, the song from Frozen came on. Let It Go. It was like, what is happening?
Let It Go. Let 2020 go. Let that season go.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. Maybe that's it. And it was so funny when that song did come on. It was like everybody's head turned straight to the box. It was like the instant turn. It was like, how in the world did we get this into our music, into BP?
Well, congratulations, because you've been named. You've been named the best hitting coach in Major League Baseball by the Live Baseball Show. You're welcome anytime. You're welcome anytime, Tim. I really appreciate it, and just keep an eye out for me roaming in the backfields there, pressing my face against the chain link fence.
anytime. Hey, thanks for letting me come on the show, and you guys keep up the good work.
Thanks, Tim. That is Tim Hires, hitting coach. We are going to get the trademark Steve Peralt instant reaction, one of the favorite portions of any show the entire week on WEEI. Love it. I would imagine you have some, right? You have some?
Yeah, I do have some. I write them down, by the way. That's the thing. Like before, I used to just have them off the top of the dome. Now I put them down on my notes pad here. Guys are competing against each other.
Okay, wait. Don't spoil it. We got to go to a break.
That was a tease.
Bradfo, for the record, you didn't pitch that as a tease. You were like, go ahead, Steve.
We'll
check the tapes.
We'll check the tapes. More coming up next
on the Live BP Show.
All right. Well, so we're going to get Steve Peralt's reaction. There was a lot to pick through. I promised that it would be good, and I don't think that I didn't deliver on that promise. Tim Hires, very, very good. And by the way, top of the hour, 5:05, our friend of the show, Pat Light, will be coming on to defend himself. Defend himself for picking the Red Sox once again, back-to-back years, win the World Series.
I have a beef with Pat Light too. That's another tease. So that's going to be at the top of the hour.
I love the IBP.
Top
beef.
Of the hour.
Top of the hour. All right, teases. we'll get to all of that right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ballpoint, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rod Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a baller to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
All right, we're back. Live BP Baseball Show. I'm Rob Bradford looking at a rainy Fort Myers. They still have not put a tarp on the field for some bizarre reason. It's like a swimming pool in the infield.
Rob, you know when you see something that you wanna fix or you wanna change, I think you should be the change that you wish to see in the world. You should go out there and put the tarp on the field and then just leave them the receipt for how much that costs. I don't know what that would be.
Well, here's the thing, Steve. It's bizarre because they have tarp over the batter circle and they have a tarp over the mound.
Yeah.
Yet the entire infield is just it's covered in water.
Not important.
Who cares, right? I mean, it's all you just need a pitcher mound and you need somewhere to hit. That's it. Speaking of somewhere to hit, and we're going to get to the calls in a second. Speaking of somewhere to hit, we had on the Red Sox hitting coach, Tim Hires. He confirmed my report that they were playing the song from Frozen during batting practice today. He also confirmed a lot of other things. Number one, that he knows a little bit about hitting and that this is an intriguing bunch of guys. But the most important thing about any of these interviews is Steve Peralta's reaction. Steve, give me your reaction.
Yeah, I got three key points here. The main one is guys are competing against each other. I like to see that. I don't need everyone showing up to spring training, being all buddy-buddy, like, hey, you know, we're just here to go through the motions. Sounds like it's a very competitive team. I know guys like Michael Chavis, he brought Chavis's name up there. He needs to be competing with other guys because there's a chance he won't be on the roster for that much longer if he doesn't. He's had a solid start, so good for Chavis. But that was my first one. My second takeaway, Bradfo, is Bobby knows he's good, but he's not cocky. That's important. That's very important that he doesn't get a big head coming off of what he did in 2020. Bobby's not that kind of guy, though. I mean, we just had him on the show last weekend. He's not the kind of guy that's going to feel like he's all that, you know? So I do enjoy seeing that Bobby, or at least hearing that Bobby's going into this year understanding that he's good. He has that pop. The ball springs off his bat. But he's not cocky. He's not getting ahead of himself now. He understands he still has to earn this position and earn, you know, consistent games with this team. And then the last one is talks cheap. My goodness, the amount of guys in Fort Myers that have been talking about this team being under the radar and not a lot of people talking about them. And it's like the second you're doing that, you're talking about yourself. They're like, talk is cheap. And you see this a lot in the NFL when, like, in the offseason, guys tweet, like, you ain't never going to see a better me than this season coming up. The numbers I'm about to put up are going to be ridiculous. It's like, yeah, sounds great, Odell. Like, let's actually go out there and perform. Let your play do the talking instead of talking during spring training that no one's talking about you. I'm getting sick of it. Even though, in their defense, I haven't heard as much of that in the last, like, week or so. So those are my top three takeaways from Tim Hires, who's a great interview, by the way. I haven't really heard him talk that much. He gave us some really insightful stuff, and he has a really good playbook on all these guys.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite games to play going back to Dave Maggin, and he was really, really good at it, which is let's not pretend. I mean, let's just not get into generalities with a team. Let's look at guys and just say, hey, here's a name. Tell me what's going on. And like tires like Magadan used to be, he's specific about it and he's good about it. And so when you watch the games, you say, oh, I remember he said that. When he said Christian Arroyo at the end,
your guy, right?
That's my guy, man. Like, and you know what? Here's the thing is that so I've done two games now, two glorious under eight inning games, one 6-inning and one 7-inning games, which we can get to a little bit later.
We're going to get to the new rules, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Today was supposed to be 5 innings before this rain hit, but Christian Arroyo hit, like he even on his outs, he hit the ball hard. So when he brings up his name, it doesn't surprise me. So that's what's great about listening to Hires. And it is. I'll come back to it, Steve, though. It is such a weird dynamic out there backfield when they're hitting. And they do, by the way, they do that. Let's put the hands in and like 1, 2, 3, go, let's go rake.
See, I'm over here thinking you're just saying that. I didn't know that they actually do this little like, here we go. Let's go hit. I didn't know that actually happens, but that is kind of funny that it does. But seems like a tight group, right? Like, have you noticed that or caught in that vibe that these guys are close?
Yeah, I think, first of all, you can be a lot tighter than you were last year. Let's be honest. Last year, when everyone was going two, like it was Noah's Ark, 2x2x2 up to the suite. But this time around, you have interaction. And let's not discount the fact Florida is crazy, Steve. Yeah. Florida, like I had heard about the legend of Florida, about how it was.
Yep.
I have seen it. I may or may not have seen it at Twin Peaks last night. So It is crazy. It is crazy. Just nobody.
So no one's wearing a mask. Is that where you're getting at?
Well, so here's the thing. Before we're going to get to the calls in a second. But I was the first night I was here, I was going out to eat with a friend of mine. And we get to the place. And I'm like, oh, crap. I forgot my mask. Mm. So I go to the gas station. And it says, must wear a mask when you come in. I walk in. Nobody's wearing a mask. The guy's not wearing a mask. I buy my, whatever, $1 mask. And then I get to the restaurant, and nobody's wearing a mask. Nobody even come close to wearing a mask, and it is jam-packed.
Yeah.
So, well, Bradford's already immune, so.
I know. I was going
to
say, like, you already
had it.
She
doesn't have to worry about it.
You're a COVID veteran, so do you feel like you're not going to get
it? I'm basically every ACC football team. It was strategic to do that.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get to the calls.
Yes.
All right.
Our guy is on the line.
Why don't you rattle? Right, you can rattle them off there. You're in the studio.
As long as you Bridget there? Can, yeah. If Bridget has this, then we are ready
to
go.
Jeff from Watertown.
Jeff from Watertown is on the line. He's been waiting for 40 minutes. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Hey, Stephen, Bradfield, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Jeff, what do you got?
I don't know what's more depressing, Bradfield, the fact that they're playing frozen at batting practice, so you're sleeping on an air mattress.
It is the most depressing thing since I paid $100 to go to the water park in Texas before the Rangers game just float around the lazy river.
With yes. the tube in the river, yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, the guy, there was a good interview with Hires, and the guy that I'm really curious about is Verdugo because, you know, we've been talking for weeks about the pace of play and, you know, last week you mentioned Madden's quote about, oh, you know, they're going to start bunting in the minor leagues to beat the shifts. That didn't happen because we don't reward players for doing that. Verdugo's one of those guys to me that, you know, that tries to do the little things, tries to, you know, and those are the guys that I want to see succeed because I want this guy. I don't care about how many home runs Staubach has. I mean, you know, I'm sure I want them to hit them when we need them. But, you know, to me, that I want to see, and I'm really hoping, you know, I want this to be a scrappy bunch. I'm hoping that Cora is going to be like, you know, we got to take some risks. You know, not so much with the analytics and the thinking about every pitch and every hit, but just getting runners in motion and just trying to make things happen and just have some excitement. So that's the guy that I think, to me, you know, Verdugo is the one that to me, he's going to be sort of the pace setter. He's the guy I'm looking for.
Well, thanks for the call, Jeff. I don't disagree. I mean, I think that, you know, Verdugo is an exciting player. Obviously, I think people got behind him a little bit. But Steve, one of the things is it sprung on me today, this morning, when I'm sitting outside my Starbucks at 6 o'clock, and it was how much they're putting stock in this guy, how important he is. He's not Mookie Betts, but he's basically taking the Mookie Betts role, which is, as Alex Cora said yesterday, he is definitively going to hit in the top third of the order, probably one or two, probably two. All right? So you start right there, and then if you're saying that we want this guy every single time to come up in the first inning, then you think that he is the straw that stirs the drink, much like Mookie was. And this is a guy who has only played, you know, about 140 games in the major leagues.
I have no issue with it. I have absolutely no issue with it. Alex Verdugo had the fifth highest average in the American League last year. He's a guy that carries himself like he's the best player in baseball. He even said as much. There was a line I saw in the My Story there that Nesson does where he's like, I don't go out there just to like be a good player on my team. I want to be the greatest player of all time. Now I'm like, that's a kind of a ridiculous quote, but I like that he has the mentality. He's like, I'm trying to be the best guy out here, like in the bigs. Like having that mentality is extremely important. He's also a guy that brings the energy that last season was probably the only reason to watch the Red Sox energy-wise and just someone that looked like they were actually having fun even though the team was garbage. So I don't think you think they're putting too much into Verdugo?
No. I mean, I think that you have to. I mean, you don't have, so you have these guys, Steve. You have Kike Hernandez. You have Franchi Cordero. You have Hunter Renfroe. You have these guys who, if things break right, they could take the next step. But they don't have the all-around skill set that Alex Verdugo. And to Tim Hire's point, they really don't have the track record in the minor leagues and the young career that Verdugo has. Because when he's played, he has hit. I mean, so I don't think that they're putting too much pressure on him. It's just what they have. But it's just notable if you juxtapose it against a year ago, Steve. A year ago, this is the guy who was showing up at 8:45 in the morning with a thing on his shoulder, the the speaker on his shoulder, and guys, sort of the veterans in there, like, who's this guy walking in at 8:45 and doing his back rehab, and we've never seen him play. And then you see him yesterday, first at bat against Rich Hill. Rich Hill throws him a spring training curveball at the shoulders, and he absolutely whacked it into right field, and you're like, oh man, you know, yeah, that reminds me of last year.
I have no issue with them putting a lot of chips in the Verdugo pile. I think he's a guy that can do it all. I mean, he's shown that he can field very well. This is going to be a huge experience for him to play center field now at Fenway Park. That's a lot different than playing right. And just now he's the guy in the outfield. I know it's only been 3 years since you have Betts Bradley and Benintendi. I can't believe we're already past that. But Verdugo is the face of the Red Sox outfield now, and he's going to be one of the faces of the team.
That's crazy.
I know, but I think he's ready for that. I don't think he's not ready for that moment. And he carries himself. He's going to be, what, 25 years old in May. He carries himself like he's ready to be one of the faces of the Boston Red Sox in 2021, and I have no problem with that at all. I think he's fully ready for that challenge, and he's not going to back down from it. Also, he's a guy like Cora that has a little swagger to him. He's got a little like, oh, you're going to throw inside to me? Like, don't, I might actually go out there and charge the mound. I like that with Verdugo. I like that he has a little chip on his shoulder and a little edge, because outwardly, at least, it doesn't seem like a lot of guys in this roster have that. So it's nice that Alex does, both Alex's, Cora and Verdugo. And I think that's going to be a great combo this season. But I'm fully ready for them to put everything into Verdugo. Have all the faith you can in him and ride that as far as you can, because I don't think he's going to be, if anything, I think he'll have a higher average this year than he did last year. If we're going to break down in a live BP show a couple weeks from now our season predictions, but I'm just going to say right now, Alex Verdugo, I think, is going to be the MVP of the team. So I'm also putting all my chips in the Verdugo pile, but I have no issue with them doing that as well.
Wow. And you didn't even see that hit I was talking about yesterday.
I didn't see it.
You probably heard Will Fleming describe it.
The way he described it, I was like, I feel like I'm seeing it, you know?
And AM radio has never sounded better.
I know. Nothing is better than 850 WEI AM radio listening to these games. But for you, that's big, right? It's like, I can't watch the game. I can listen to Bradford call the game. Bada bing. So it's good promotion for Rob Bradford.
Yeah, it is great. Let's go. Is Tony and Bridgewater still there?
Tony and Bridgewater is still there, yes.
Hey, what's happening?
Tony, what's up?
Tony, thanks for hanging on, man. How are you doing?
That's all right. Ned Martin, Joe Castiglione, and Rob Bradford. When I hear those names, I think baseball. You know,
it's amazing. It's amazing. It's on my business card, Tony. Available for mediocrity.
I hear you, but you know something? The Red Sox ownership must be eating this out like that last caller. When did we become the Minnesota Twins? I mean, my God, if you want to see Hernandez, Dobbeck, Chavez run around, you know, I'd rather go to Worcester and pay $10 for a ticket. Because
then go to Worcester. They're not going to care. Go to Worcester.
Nobody says anything about Jackie Bradley Jr. Now, this guy has 15 to 20 RBIs in his glove a year. You could have got him for 2 years and $22 million, and you don't even offer him anything like that. They don't sniff out George Springer. Like, they don't even go his way, who signed a decent contract, I think, 146 years with Toronto. I mean, what are we running here? This is like a minor league team.
So, Tony, I understand.
You got no outfielders.
Listen, okay, all right, hold on.
He doesn't like Verdugo, my MVP, my goodness.
No, I know. And listen, you aren't alone, Tony, in this take. But I would say this, is that we knew this team was going to be turned over. To me, the spending the money thing, that conversation isn't really about this year. It's about after 2022, because Tony, the fact of the matter is, they still, right now, as we sit here, have the second highest CBT number. They have $204 million. So you can't say they aren't spending money. No. Well, hey, listen.
I'm not saying about spending money. I'm talking about
get George Springer because he wants to play here.
Why not? They got rid of Betts over there, right? Let's replace him with a ball player. Verdugo is a corner outfielder. He's played a handful of games at center, and you've got him for MVP. Come on now.
Steve has him for MVP. Thanks for the call, Tony.
Does Tony understand how free agency works? When, like, no. The top guys make a lot of money. That's what it is, Tony.
I don't think you understand. It's about recruiting.
What Heim should have done, listen up, Rob, all right, because this is 100% accurate. What Heim should have done is said, hey, George, we want you in our outfield, and we're not going to give you much money. Does that sound good to you?
which is basically what they said to Jackie Bradley. Let's be honest.
Yeah. What do you think? Out of curiosity, I don't know if you heard anything, any rumors or anything, but do you know what if the Red Sox offered him anything? Like what a deal would?
Yeah, I think they are. I think the offer. I don't have a definitive number or years or anything, but I think the offer, if I had to guess, was probably around a 1 year. Here, come back a 1 year deal. And go get him. It wasn't close to Milwaukee. If it wasn't close to Milwaukee, then it wasn't 2 years, right?
Yeah, but then shouldn't that also lean you to believe that, like, he was fully ready to be somewhere else? I mean, he basically has said everything and hinted at every...
Well, not if the Red Sox offer him 3 years.
Oh, again, like we mentioned at the top of the show, with the David Price deal and Carl Crawford, and we can go down the list of guys that you overpay to be like, no, you're going to play for us. Here's all this money. They obviously were never going to do that with Jackie, so very clearly he wasn't going to come back. I think it's a pretty easy equation.
Well, we're going to get into more Jackie Bradley talk, but after this break, we have a friend of the show. He is on the verge of making the Live BP Baseball Show Hall of Fame. Pat Light, former first-round pick for the Red Sox, and also media darling. And also, here's another tease for you. The Red Sox have just had a transaction that is absolutely bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
It always happens during the show.
I know.
Every week.
Kidding aside, I think this is our seventh show. Every single one, there's been a move. So, shout out Red Sox.
We pay a lot of money for the rights for this baby. So,
exactly.
You know, there's no coincidence. So we're going to get Pat Light and this bizarre transaction that just went down for the Red Sox right after this.